Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you. We got some outstanding stuff lined up for you straight ahead with our good friend Doug Stives. Doug is a longtime member of our Brain Trust going back many, many years and has joined us on many occasions to talk to us about issues that are very important to you and me and our small businesses, and that is the finances, the tax issues that you and I have to deal with. Doug is a partner emeritus with the Kirchen Group, outstanding accounting firm there in Red Bank, New Jersey. He's also professor of accounting at Monmouth University, and he's our good friend, Professor Stives. Welcome back.
Well, good morning. Nice to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Professor. You know, when we first started talking, I never thought that it would come to this.
Why is that?
Well, I just, you know, I'm thinking of you as, you know, with the green shade, you know, visor and the arm garters, and you know, I'm just not thinking of you with in the cloth, you know.
Well, I teach with the green eye shade. What do you mean?
Hey, Doug, we got a lot of stuff going on right now. There are a lot of tax laws that tax issues that are part of the law right now. That are subject to not being renewed. We've got things that are going to sunset and go away. We got potential for this year or next year that the estate tax goes away. I mean, we got so many things on the line. We got the government talking about taxing the wealthy, which they think is anybody who makes over $250,000. You and I both know is not wealthy. So what's happening out there?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to run out of things to teach my tax students at university. And some of them are, as we all know, the job market's been a little tough, and some of them have said to me, well, gee, Doug, you know, where can I have absolutely guaranteed success and try to stay up to date with taxes?
Cause right.
I'll tell you one thing Congress is not going to do, Jim. We can cover this real quickly. They're not going to put in a flat tax. They're not going to simplify the tax structure.
Right, no.
And I'm not really beating up Congress with that statement. That's not the solution. So the only solution really is they're going to have to make it even more complex.
I'm not worried about them simplifying things. I'm worried about them complicating things by potentially sticking a VAT tax in to pay for health care.
Oh, well, that's inevitable. We are going to.
Well, don't say that. Don't say that, Doug. You make me sick if you say that.
Making you squirm, right?
Oh, I can't.
Well, the only solution I have is we're going to have to really mount our efforts and get all those people out of Congress that think that they have a bottomless pit of money.
Value-added tax is the last step towards a European turning us into Europe.
Well, I was in Europe a couple of weeks ago, and just to get everybody's attention, is I was in a couple of Scandinavian countries, and they have a 25%, I call it a sales tax, because that's really
right.
What it is.
VAT.
Everything you buy, every service that you incur, you go to a restaurant, you go to an attorney and use their services, you go to a doctor, they add it up, and they add 25%.
And don't forget, that's not accounting the income tax.
That's right.
That's not counting the fact that they have property tax. That's not counting the fact that they have, if you buy an automobile in Denmark, this tax on that on buying that automobile is 150% of the cost of the automobile.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way for a minute, though. Now, you mentioned Denmark. Denmark is the most expensive place I've been in a long time. But streets are clean.
Yeah.
Walk down
the
street, you don't fear for your life.
You can eat off in Copenhagen. You can eat off. In Stockholm, you can eat off the streets.
Well, you won't be able to afford to eat what you eat off the street. But the point is you know, Jim. You and I know that I'm a conservative, and I didn't vote for most of the guys that are in there right now. But you go to these socialist countries that we talk about that we're living in fear of, and stuff works.
Well, but you know what though, Doug, it's starting to break down. I'll tell you why. We were in Sweden 5 years ago this last month, and right after we left, I was talking to small business owners, and they were talking to me about how hard it was for them to go into business, how much trouble they had getting a business started, and how much taxes they were paying, and how onerous those were. And then right after we left, Sweden had to release something like 3,000 or 4,000 asylum inmates because they couldn't afford, no longer afford, right, to keep them locked up. Well, and their crime rate went up because they couldn't keep taxing people.
Well, you know why that is their population is not expanding.
Yeah.
That's part of Europe's problem. And people are not moving into those countries.
Yeah, we don't have that problem in America. 20 till, right back after these messages. Everybody wants to get into our act. Right back with Doug Stives. I'm Jim Blasingame.
I need to walk on the wire just to catch my breath. I don't know how or where, but I'm going. It's all that I have.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and thank you for using it. We got lots of stuff there. 5 seconds, 1 minute, 15 minutes. We got something you can read or listen to in any of those times. You can check out the Brain Trust, subscribe to my newsletter, subscribe to my blog, and we got lots of stuff going on there. Ask a question at askjim.biz right off the homepage. And then, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. And we got Doug Stives with us, ladies and gentlemen. Our good buddy Doug Stives is back with us. He's been talking to us about tax planning and financial information to help us run our businesses better. And Doug, as we were talking a minute ago, by the way, Doug is professor of accounting at Monmouth University. And, Doug, we were talking about the VAT. Joan Pride reminds me I shouldn't say VAT tax because that's redundant. It's just the VAT because it's value-added tax. And folks, this is like a national sales tax. You add a little tax all along the way. That's not the same thing, is it, Doug?
A national sales tax
is what you were talking about.
You and I learned the VAT when we were in school is they added a little bit as they went.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about now, is it?
Well, that's what they still call it, though.
Yeah, but it's not.
We were talking about like Sweden.
Technically, a VAT adds a little bit along the way, but what they're really talking about is a national sales tax.
Exactly. And what they're doing is calling it a value-added tax because it just somehow sounds a little bit milder.
Right. But now, are we going to have state sales tax on top of that?
Absolutely, because the states won't even.
They
got
to have, otherwise the government's trying to get in the states pockets, right, aren't they?
Well, there's another myth out there. Let's clear this up. I've had people say to me, well, I'd rather pay a national sales tax because then if I don't consume a whole lot as I retire or whatever, and it's better than an income tax. Wait a minute. We're talking about in addition to the income tax.
See, the only way I would even consider not storming the ramparts with my axe and sickle if they try to get this passed is if they repeal the 16th Amendment.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to be devil's advocate. You're jumping up and
16th
down.
16th Amendment, by the way, folks, gave the government the right, the ability to tax us a federal income tax.
Before any of us were born.
Yeah, 1913. Go ahead.
But here's my point, is if we don't enact this value-added tax, which I think is inevitable. I don't like it. Let me make that clear.
I wish you wouldn't say that. Don't say inevitable.
But it is.
Say that on your show. Don't say it on my show.
Well, how are they going to pay for all these freebies?
Because we're going to stop it.
What the boys in Washington are saying, though, everybody's got to have free health care, and we got to rebuild all the roads and bridges. And, oh, by the way, we're going to fight a couple wars while we're at it.
Yeah.
And where are we going to pay for that?
Yeah.
We have a deficit that people can't even comprehend.
I'm depressed, Doug.
Oh, I am too. But with the right now, unless America gets into the polls in November and votes some of these, clowns out, it's going to continue.
At least Al Franken has the self-respect to admit to being a comedian, right?
Yeah.
But you know. and folks, listen, Doug and I are not necessarily talking about Democrats. We're talking about the political class.
Oh, absolutely. I don't care what party you are.
It's a political class we're talking about.
Well, there are lots of things that I don't like. Is these guys that can get reelected for life, that's wrong.
Yeah.
I always tease my friends from South Carolina. What was his name? Strom Thurmond or something?
Yep.
He didn't know what he was doing, and they kept reelecting him.
Let's talk about some things, though, that are real, that have happened, and that is the sunsetting of the tax breaks that we got in 2003, the sunsetting of the estate tax. How do we blend all that into our long-range financial planning?
Well, I'll work backwards. Is the estate tax, as I think most people know, just a few years ago, if you had as little as $600,000 in assets when you died, you paid tax at rates as high as 55%. This is a federal estate tax we're talking about. Now, money you've already paid tax on while you're alive, your estate has to pay tax to die. Right now, today, you can have $3.5 million worth of estate and have no federal estate tax.
That's been building, hasn't it?
Yeah, now that's what's supposed to happen, or what's scheduled, what's on the law right now. In 2010, there will be no federal estate tax. But if people
in 2010,
right? People listening say, "Well, Doug doesn't know what he's talking about." I will tell you absolutely for sure, and I'll bet you my house on this one. There will be an estate tax in 2010. Congress has only 6 months left before December 31st, when the estate tax sunsets. They have to decide what they're going to do, and I can tell
the law that not only does the estate tax sunset after this year,
right?
But it also, there's a provision to bring it back 100% as it had been, 2011. So you're saying they're not even going to wait for that to happen,
right? Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, Obama himself, when he was running, and John McCain when he was running against him, said we're just going to leave the exemption at $3.5 million. In other words, what they will do is just suspend any elimination of the estate tax.
Right. They're not going to allow this the thing to go away.
But they will
pass something that will keep it as it currently is in 2009.
Yeah. Let me throw this zinger though. The estate tax, as it is right now, generates just about 1%, just short of 1% of the total revenue. So if they did let it go away, the government's not going to starve any worse than they're starving. But
right.
You know, we could argue both sides of it, Jim, but to be serious, Congress will just quietly pass a bill that will extend the estate tax the way to...
And it'll be in the middle of the health care debate, and none of us will... It'll be such a small thing, none of us will notice.
That's right. And they're talking, you know, a couple of wrinkles to make some minor changes, which I'm not worried about that. Now, your other question...
Hold on to that thought, because one of the things I want to get Doug to talk about when he comes back is... How are you and I going to pay for this health care that we're going to be mandated to have to pay if the health care plan, as it's being proposed, is passed? Tin Till, right back with Doug Stives. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I was a dandy. Yeah, my kind. Here's the Drifters, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. Doug Stives is not very far away from Broadway. Welcome back, folks. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our good friend and guest this half hour, Doug Stives, is with us. You're just a stone's throw from Broadway, aren't you, Doug?
About 40 minutes.
Over there in Red Bank, New Jersey. Beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey, near Monmouth University. Tell us, is there a place online you'd like to tell us? Doug, what's your Twitter account?
Twitter. I'm sorry, Jim. I'm not going to Twitter. I get so many emails now, I don't have time to I just don't, frankly, don't have time.
I couldn't resist it. I knew that was going to be the answer. I just had to have a little fun with you there. Doug, the one of the things that I think small business owners don't know yet, haven't probably come to terms with, is if this healthcare reform passes
strike
as it's being proposed.
It's going to pass.
No. I'm not. You're really bumming me out here, Doug. Don't say things like that. Because it hasn't happened yet. But if it passes, there are going to be mandates on small businesses that I think small businesses haven't come to terms with yet. What do you think?
Oh, they're going to put small businesses.
Taxes.
Many of them are going to go under.
taxes to pay for it, and mandates to provide. So, and of course, I'm tying this back to our financial planning, Doug.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal had a great article, I guess it was on Monday or Tuesday of this week, an editorial, actually. And they showed very graphically what the small business is going to do, your small business, my small business, and all those that we represent, people we talk to. If you don't cover your people, your employees, by health insurance, they're going to hit you with an 8% surcharge.
So on top of the VAT now.
Oh, of course.
That's on top of the VAT. They're also going to add to us.
Now,
and the tax, and if you make over $250,000, the taxes that those people, if you're a millionaire, another 4% surcharge.
Yeah. Now, there's good news, though. Let's dig out the short list of good news. One is if you already have health insurance that you're paying for your full-time employees, you're not going to be affected. You're already,
right.
they're not going after you.
But is there some, are they going to make some valuation about whether they like how I'm providing health care? See, for my employees, I provide them with enough money to buy an HSA, a health savings account. And
right.
the people who are proposing this reform, they don't like HSAs.
Of course not. But well, yeah. We fill up a whole hour with that. We're running out of time. But you just asked the key question, which answers the question from earlier: is how are they going to regulate this stuff? And what will happen? Congress will pass a bill that'll be almost understandable. Then Treasury, the people at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue,
they're promulgated.
They have to regulate. So, okay, so you and I are charged with that responsibility. Well, go in and look at the health insurance plan that Doug's CPA firm offers. Is that sufficient, or do they have to upgrade or down? Because you know what will happen. So if you cover any kind of health insurance, companies will offer policies with a $10,000 deductible that only covers surgery on Tuesdays.
Right.
Well, so they've got to write regulations that will tell you what type of health insurance you have to have. And that's very difficult, not an easy job to do. But one other thing I got to throw in is the bill, as it's in, actually in the Senate right now, says that if your payroll is less than $250,000 a year, you will not have to contribute. You will not have to buy health insurance.
And so, therefore, how many people, to prevent that from happening, will hold their payroll under $250,000 a year? And what will that do to the growth of the American economy?
Exactly. They're going to lay some people off. So I can't afford you anymore because I can't afford health insurance. I'm not paying 8% surcharge. Here's the other thing that'll happen. A guy says, well, I've got a company that does two or three things. I'll split it up and make it into three companies. So, again, the boys in Treasury have to write rules that make that illegal.
Keep you from having sham companies.
Right. And you'll have thousands of pages of regulations on something that seems relatively straightforward and well-intended.
Right.
Not easy.
So,
not
folks,
easy.
This is the kind of sticky wicket that's being proposed. This is the kind, and they're going through all these contortions in Washington to make, and all of this in the name of insuring 40 million uninsured Americans, when all they have to do would be to spend the money to, you know, Doug, let's just give the people who truly can't afford insurance, of that 40, it's about 10 million. Let's just give them insurance out of the government coffers. That would be a lot cheaper and a lot simpler and would save us.
Oh, but well, wait a minute. How do you decide who's eligible and who's not?
Yeah.
And how do you decide what about, you know, people that are
You're really an instigator today, aren't you, Doug?
I'm a cynic because it's early in the morning.
You're really a cynic. You're bringing me down, Doug.
You see what academia has done?
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Stives is not the fun-loving, carefree, happy-go-lucky guy I used to know.
Listen, they tell me I'm the only guy that makes accounting fun at our university.
I think that's exactly right. If you had been my professor in accounting, I'd probably be an accountant right now. God help us all if that had happened. Hey, thanks, Doug, for being here. Good job today. We still love you.
Good luck.
We'll see you next. God save us all, Doug. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.